And I want to say, finish off some more things in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. And we talked about the Kayach Adibur of Hege. The Hege was, he was a Baal Soy Dibur Apnimi. They saw the depths in speech. And that's why Esther consulted him. She asked his advice. You know, how is she supposed to phrase her response? If they ask her, why is she not asking for anything? She's not involving herself in the beautification process. And this is something, her life depends on these words. Achayim v'amavis b'ahaloshen. Life and death is in the hands of the tongue. So she needs to speak to someone that will understand, will be able to show her the exact thing to say to save her life. And Haggai was such a person, and he happened to be the person in charge of the Beis HaNashim. This is all Hashkacha Pratis. And Chazal, they don't tell us about this encounter with Esther and the Sari HaMelech. So whatever Haggai told her must have worked. Seder. And this pasuk, you see that Esther's lineage is going through again. Esther Bas Abichael, Dod Mordechai. And this is repetitious. We have this before. We've gone through this, done there, been there. So there's a commentary by Reb Shlomo Alkabitz. Reb Shlomo Alkabitz was the one who composed the Luchadaydi. Lived in Tzfas. He was one of the Gdeli Tzfas. And his commentary is called the Menais Halevi. So the reason why we're mentioning her Yichus and the Mordechai raised her is because for someone of her situation, a beautiful woman, taken away from everything that's familiar to her and dear and precious, amidst all the Gayim, being taken to the king, there's no way out. For someone like that to remain on the same level of Tzidkus, which she did, she was on the same level, for someone like that to take her life in her hands and not ask for anything. You know, she had due cause to put on a show. Even if she would tell herself, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. But to go through the motions, and to go into the baths and request the cosmetics, there's a svara. She had a stark svara. There was due cause for her to do that. But she wouldn't. She remained steadfast. She's not going to do anything. She's remaining passive. They're taking her, so then they're taking her. She's not going. And if she asks for anything, if she does anything, then she's going towards their goal. She's a part of the process. And this process took 12 months. And she emerged after those 12-month process, pure and clean as the driven snow.
Didn't she ask for 7 maidservants?
It never says that she asked for 7 maidservants. It says that he gave her 7 maidservants.
So it was like...
And Farshan point out how miraculous that was.
7 days of the week.
That's it, for the 7 days of the week, and that they were all tzidkanias. It doesn't say she had, you know, she only asked for whatever Haggai suggested, whatever he provided for her. He didn't. She never verbalized her request.
Is there a midrash that says that she turned them into tzidkanias or no?
I'm not aware of it. I mean, it's not out in the field, so it's a suggestion. I mean, anybody that serves Esther is gonna rub off. I just don't know.
So she was basically doing the same thing when.
She remained the same. This is a mamash reminiscent of.
No, like the midrash, which said that she had to have relations, right? So one of the midrashim says that she just like sat there passively.
The Gemara says that.
Yeah, that she didn't even get any enjoyment. So it's like the same thing. She just let everything go astray. She didn't do anything.
And she kept this up in a consistent manner. It was consistent. This is reminiscent of Yosef HaTzadik. And they're both.
Oh no. You pop another mess?
And Yosef HaTzadik is closely related to her. They're both descendants of Rachel. Yosef is Yosef, and she and Esther's from Binyamin. Rachel and Leah. Leah was the mother of the Balei Tshuva, and Rachel was the mother of the Tzaddikim Gemurim.
Was Leah the mother of the
Balei Tshuva? Yehuda. Yehuda was a Balei Tshuva. He sold Yosef and he did Tshuva.
Reuven.
But the guilt was on Yehuda's shoulders because he was the king. Reuven did Tshuva. Yehuda did Tshuva.
I thought Yosef.
Reuven, when they put Yosef in the pit, where was Reuven?
With his
father. He was Besaka Batanisa. Reuven was he was mourning. He was sackcloth and ashes because he switched the bed of his father out of Bilhah's tent into Leah's tent. Leah is the mother of the Balei Tshuva. Rachel is the mother of the Tzaddikim Gemurim, the ones that don't have to do Tshuva because they don't do anything wrong. So Reb Shlomo Alkovitz says that's why it repeats where she came from. Because that's our way of understanding why she was able to withstand the temptations of the palace.
Yosef had to do his Tshuvas.
Yosef's test, he didn't fail. There might have been things in his life that he came up short, but his grand test was the Thesis Potiphar, and that he didn't fail. There are certain things, there are certain tests in a person's life that he's born for. This is your test. And everything in life, all the events and the choices of your life are all leading up to that. This is your choice.
So if you fail a couple other tests, it's not...
That the big test is the one that makes or breaks a person. And Yosef withstood it. He passed it with flying colors. There was no element of failure with Eishes Petifar. And this was Esther's test.
But what did he... what did he fail on? Anything, or just he just...
There were shortcomings that are pointed out in Chazal.
Drops that came out.
Yeah, but you have to understand that
on a different level.
If you ever want to, the Maral talks about it, and through the perspective of the Maral, the Gemara takes on an entirely different face. The Gemara says the 10 drops of sperm came out of his fingers. So it's obviously to be understood on a different level.
We heard Pshat last year from the guy that he would dig his nails into the sand and like push back until...
he passed the test for our purposes.
You know that a place where he had to do tshuva was from telling on his brothers.
Correct.
So Midrash says that what did he have to do? Also, instead of telling his father that really what his brothers did is that they sold him, he actually avoided his father.
So
because
under this
way
his father can't ask him how he ended up in Mitzrayim.
So that,
wasn't his Mitzrayim. Yeah. That wasn't. That wasn't his assignment. Reb Shlomo Alkovitz says that's why we're going through the line who is she came from, because that's what gave her the kaychus, the fortification, to be Amid bin Nistarin, to pass her test. So we're not just saying who she was, we're saying where'd she draw the kaych from. The commentary called Yosef Lekach has another explanation why we're mentioning her name. Because in the previous pasuk, the pasuk ends off with Benikra Abishem, that Achashverosh would call his queen by a new name, because she'd have to convert to his religion and take on the name of an idol worshiper. Right. So the Yosef Lekach says in this pasuk that's why it repeats her names, even though she was chosen, but she didn't change her name. So it's not sufficient that her name was mentioned before. We have to mention it again to show that she resisted it. She's not changing her name. And she got away with it. The pasuk says that Esther was nicest chayim b'enikal re'el. Her grace found favor in the eyes of all who saw her, all who beheld her. Now this is strange, because what's the point of that? Isn't the important thing that she finds favor in the eyes of the king? She's got to save Klal Yisrael. She'll save Klal Yisrael by getting married to Achashverosh. She's a beautiful woman. And the king appreciates it.
The king is only powerful if he has people behind him. You see, he was influenced by his advisors also. So if she finds favor in everyone's eyes.
Therefore, then what?
Then she can influence everyone, which then.
What's going to determine whether the king picks her or not? Whether she finds favor in his eyes or their eyes?
His, but he wants someone that everyone's going to think was as beautiful as Vashti. He wants someone that people think highly of. He's been saying that the whole time. The fact that she found favor in everyone's eyes was definitely
That's a good answer. That's an attribute that everyone thinks she's beautiful. So that's important to him. The Ace of Lachak has a different answer. But it's related to your answer. Your answer is a part of it.
Rabbi, do you mind repeating the question?
Why is it so important to point out that she was beautiful in everyone's eyes? It should say that she's beautiful in Achashverosh's eyes. That's the main thing.
It's also like Yosef.
It is like Yosef. The Ace of Lachak says that there's nothing that takes away the beauty of a person as much as a sour mood or being brokenhearted. Even the greatest of beauties that is in pain and suffering from a broken heart, it's going to have an effect on the beauty. The matzav of a ruach, the emotional mood of a person, comes through the face. The face is the mirror of the soul. You want to see what's going on in someone's soul. The only access that we have to that is the face. You can't always see it. Sometimes the window is closed. But that's the place. The panim reflects the matzah of the soul. And Esther was very brokenhearted at the prospects of becoming the queen of the entire world. In addition to this, according to one view in Chazal, she was eating legumes the whole time. A diet, someone that subsists on a diet which consists of legumes, tends to develop a green pallor to their complexion. And the Gemara indeed has two things to say about Esther. One is that she was one of the most beautiful women in the world. And the other is that she was green. Yerakreikus says that she was green. And the Gemara says she's like a hadassah. Hadassah is a myrtle branch. That's also green. She was green.
How green are we talking? Like a slight hint of green?
She was
like
green. I mean, the type of green that a person gets by eating legumes all day. You know,
no,
that
if
kind
you
of green.
Carrots, you get that, like kind of that yellow.
No, that kind. We're just saying that kind of green. Some of these legumes all the time, that green, that's what we're talking about. And the Gemara says she was beautiful. The Gemara and Megillah, it says she was beautiful. Like, it's a contradiction, it's a steer. I guess to a Martian that would be beautiful.
Well, yeah. Green.
So the commentaries explain that without the additional help of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, she would not have been attractive at all. She looks sickly. So, from a totally Olam Hazeh perspective, or point of view, not taking into account anything supernatural, she wasn't attractive at all.
Meaning after
but
the
a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Lashon of Gemara is a Kaddish Baruch Hu is Moshech Alei Chut Shel Chesed. Hashem took a thread of chesed, of loving kindness, and spread it upon her.
The Gemara says she was the most beautiful woman. He was talking about physical beauty.
Well, at the beginning, probably.
I thought the kasha was that she was brokenhearted and she was subsisting on legumes.
She became not pretty.
She
Hashem
right.
kept that aura pretty.
Yeah, so Hashem was Meshach Chut Shel Chesed. What's a Chut Shel Chesed?
Nice.
A Chut Shel Chesed is a thread of chesed. Hashem took a thread of chesed. And he spread it on her. What does that mean?
Like,
I would say, if it was up to me and I had to describe this nice, I would say Hashem made a nice and made her beautiful.
Just a little bit nace, because really she wasn't
nace on them and made them.
Yeah, that's what. That's all what
right. So that's you can make a nace
just a
on
little
them.
Nace, because
no,
because
she was green.
She was, like,
so you're
looking not so nice.
So you're saying chut means a little, and chesed is a little beauty. Chesed doesn't mean beauty. She's not totally.
Maybe she was so unique. She was the only green beauty.
He was kind to her. So you're explaining a thread is a little bit and kind, he's a little bit kinder. Which is why I choose to say another explanation.
Thanks.
It says extend. Extend the Meshach. Memshin Chavsafis is Meshach. Hashem extends a thread. To me, a thread is something which, I mean, using what Lazy said, it is a fine, you know, it's called a fine line. A thread is a fine line. It's a line nonetheless, but it's fine. That means a connection. If there's a thread that's, you know, tied to my finger and the other end of the thread is tied to your finger, then there is a connection. It's a small one, it's a minute one, but it is a connection. And, I mean, I'll give you an example. Please understand it's a very limited example, but I think it makes the point. In my days, before we had all these techno gadgets, if you wanted to talk to someone in another room, you took two paper cups, you punched a small hole in the bottom of each one, you put a thread through, you tied a knot at the end of the thread so it wouldn't come out, did the same thing to another cup, the guy walked down the hallway into the other room, you stretched the thread till it was tight, not too tight because it's going to break, and then one guy talks into his cup, the other guy puts it into his ear. And the sound waves, they reverberate from the cup to the thread, and the thread carries the sound waves to the other cup. And so it's a rigid, not rigid,
fourth grade
it's
science
rudimentary means of communication. So to me, Moshe Chachut Shel Chesed means that Kadosh Baruch Hu took a thread, he made this connection with Esther, a special thread, that Esther would be connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu more than she normally would be, in a different way than she normally would be. And the name of this thread, we're going to give it a name, it's called Chesed.
What does that do with making her pretty?
Exactly, it doesn't say he made her pretty. It says she was nice as Chaim, B'enikol Re'el. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is beloved. The Rambam says, all you have to do is think. You want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Avos Hashem. How could you be, you know, the Rishonim asked this question. How could Hashem give us a mitzvah of emotion? It's a mitzvah to love God. Either you do love Him or you don't love Him. It's a fact. How could you be commanded to love someone? I command you to love bananas. I don't love bananas. Well, I command you to do it. I can't make myself love bananas because they don't. The Rishonim will ask this question. The Rambam says that the command is not to love God. The command is to remove the things in the way of loving God. Loving God is automatic. She says, you're right, you can't command someone to love. They either do or they don't. But we do.
Is the same
we
thing
don't
right
love
here?
God because we think we don't love God because we don't think of all the things He does for us. We take credit for things. The Rambam says, think for a moment of the great world that He made for us. Go into the, you know, delve into the minute and the harmony of all the small details of creation. He said, you'll be filled with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the mitzvah is to think. The mitzvah is not to love. The mitzvah is to contemplate. The love comes automatically. And we love God because He gives us everything. And He gives it to us whether we deserve it or not. When someone gives you something, they give you unconditional love, you love them back in return. And you want to be close to them. You want to be with them. And that's where Avos Hashem comes from. And we all have it. It's just that it's blocked to a large extent. And the way to deal with it, to remove those blocks, is to think, to contemplate. Estes et tzedekes. In many places, Chazal say that any good that comes to the world because of the tzedekim in the generation. Hashem sees a tzedekes like Esther. She deserves a good world. This person deserves a good world. And I'm going to bestow all my chesed on the world because of her, because she deserves a good world, so the entire world benefits because of her. She needs a shoemaker, so there's shoemakers in the world. She needs a refrigerator, she needs a refrigerator. She needs a Maytag man. Maytag repair man. And blessing, chesed, reaches the entire world because of the tzaddik. Maisha Kutcha chesed means there's a special connection between Hashem and Esther. And that exists, it's just that not everyone realizes it. Tzaddik can walk around, we don't always see that the chesed comes to us because of them, but in Esther's case, Hashem revealed it. He spread it on her in a way that people were able to sense that anything good in the world comes because of her. That's a beauty, which it's an attraction. It's a beauty. It's not a physical beauty. It's far beyond a physical beauty.
Don't we say that Hashem leaves the people who are like depressed or heartbroken, like by Yaakov Avinu, he lost his Shekhinah because he was depressed about Yosef?
Yeah, this is It also says in the Gemara that Hashem dwells with the brokenhearted. So to reconcile those two statements is by Yaakov was to refer to prophetic vision, to being able to see, to understand what's going on in the world, and that measure of Shekhinah one cannot attain unless they're the Simcha. And here we're talking about holding the person up, helping her out. And that Hashem is in that aspect, Hashem is there even more. You were by Rabbi Weintraub when he spoke on Shabbos?
Yeah.
That's what he said. In the time of darkness, Hashem is there even more. That's how the Yosef Lakuk explains that she found favor in the eyes of all that saw her. That's not referring to her physical beauty. If we were talking about her physical beauty, so it would mention that she's appealing to Akash Farish, because that's all that matters. But we're not. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifting the veil and being revealed that there's a thread between her and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anything, any positive thing, anything that they think they've earned themselves, or any positive experience, is all because of Esther. So everyone appreciates that. And that, you know, that's something which could counteract the green pallor or the sickliness. So that's why it mentions everyone. Pasuk Tezayin. But to Laka Esther based on Melech Achashverosh, she was taken to the house of the. She was taken to the king Achashverosh, Abes Machusai, to his palace, Bachadish Asiri, the 10th month, Bachadish Teves, Mamish. That's the month we're in now. It's a cold month, it's a winter month, Bishnah Shevel Machusai. In the 7th year, of his reign. Now you'll notice that means at least 3 years passed. He made the party in the 3rd year of his reign. Then they were taken at the end of the 3rd year of his reign, and they were in the baths for a year.
So that means it was a year before anyone even went into him.
It means that there's 3 years that aren't accounted for. That's what it means. He made the party at the end of the 3rd year.
So he was going through people for 3 years.
No. Yeah, that's right. He was going through three people. He was searching for people for 3 years. The Vilna Gaon said the reason why it took 3 years to find what he wanted is because Esther was hiding. She was in hiding for 3 years. He stopped searching when he found Esther. And until he found Esther, he was going to go on searching. She hid for 3 years. 3 years she hid.
Yeah, but then how do we account for the year that she had to prepare to go back to?
So 3 years of Malchus, 3 years of hiding, and 1 year of the bath.
The 7th year, not.
So it's the 7th year. You know, when you're talking about fractions of years, you know, that the pasuk doesn't zoom in on. It could be the beginning, the middle, the end. It could be 2.5 years she was hiding. It could be 3.5 years. It works out. You know, 3 years of his Malchus till the party, 3 years of searching, 1 year of the bath. She hid for 3 years. 3 years she hid. Later on in Megillas Esther, the Megillah relates about a plot that was foiled by Esther. Bigson and Seresh sought to assassinate the king. There's different versions of Chazal what their motive was in killing Achashverosh. The Gemara in Megillah talks about this in Daf Yud Gimel on the base. The Gemara says the reason why they wanted to kill Achashverosh, and according to some versions of Chazal, they wanted to kill Esther too. Interestingly enough, but they wanted to kill Achashverosh is because Esther and Achashverosh got married in Tevis. You see, Bigson and Teresh, they had the night shift. And that's a relatively easy job. They could sit, they could sit down in an easy chair, fall asleep. There's not much doing in the palace at night. It's quiet. All right, so if Akashverish has a headache, so wake up, get him an aspirin, come back, sit down, go back to sleep. There's not that much doing. And they enjoyed that for 7 years. Until Esther came along with Tevez. Tevez is a cold month. Tevez is a month when the only way for a king to warm himself up is to have relations with his wife. The cold penetrates the bones, and the kings would use Tashmish Amita. They would use relations as a way of driving away the fierce cold. And Tevis was the month where this was, it was the harshest, most severe part of the winter. Bigson and Teresh, they would complain to one another that from the moment this lady came into the palace, he said, we haven't slept a wink, because Achashverosh was up the entire night. And he wanted things, because he was having a tashmish with Esther. And he wanted things. What? Esther got married to Achashverosh and Tevis.
So if it wasn't for Esther, he wouldn't be...
And she was beautiful.
That's why they wanted
to kill him. The Gemara says that they wanted to kill Achashverosh because, number one, they were up the whole night. Number two, Tevis is the time of the year when the nights are the longest. The nights are the longest. The time between sunrise and sunset is the longest in Tevis. So they had these long shifts where they were never able to close their eyes. And they wanted to kill Achashverosh. It's interesting, right? It's interesting the seemingly insignificant elements that contribute to that soul of Klal Yisrael. Because they wanted to kill Achashverosh, that enabled Esther to save Achashverosh's life. She saved Achashverosh's life by telling him, by revealing the plot. The plot was discovered by Mordechai. Mordechai was never rewarded for it. Haman, on the moment he was about to go into Achashverosh to have Mordechai hung, at that very time Achashverosh recalled that Mordechai was never rewarded. V'chulu, 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 etc., etc., etc. So because they wanted to get a good night's sleep, it's humbling. Because two Tarsim, they were Tarsis, they're from Taras. Because two Tarsis wanted to get a good night's sleep, because Achashverosh found Esther and Tevis, and that's also Ashkacha, that they found Esther and Tevis, because if she married Achashverosh a year later in Tevis, that means they found her in Tevis. So the moment of finding her was Ashkacha. She was hiding out for 3 years. And Hashem picked the moment she should be fine, because 12 months later she's going to get married, and then there's going to be long nights, and it's going to be cold. And these two people, these two insomniacs, are going to want to kill Achashverosh. It was all Menashkach al Yaina because the Bnei Yisrael had to be saved. The Medrash says the pasuk starts out with the word Vatilakach, and she was taken. That echoes the same sentiment of Chazal that when she was taken from Mordechai's house, it says Vatilakach, because just as she was taken from Mordechai's house, it was against her will. When she was taken from the Beis Hanashim, it was also against her will. Everything was against her will. She was dragged from Mordechai's house to the Beis Hanashim, and she was dragged from the Beis Hanashim to the palace.
This is Rashi?
This is a Medrash. Pasuk Yitzayim. But yeah, Vamelech is Esther. The king loved Esther. Mikol Hanashim, from all the other women. Vatis Achein Beches Lefana. She was gracious and kind in front of him. We call up Sulais from all the non-married women. Vayasim Kesem Malchus Bereisha. he placed a crown of royalty on her head, v'yamlichalotachas Vashti, and she ruled. She ruled. She ruled instead of Vashti. V'yamlichal. She ruled, and he gave her a crown. I'm sure that you'll notice, right? You'll see, right, mamish. You hit the head on the nail.
Wouldn't that be proof to the other one?
Yes. Well, not necessarily.
Well, that's someone underneath, but here it's something. Or maybe that's what he was intending, but anyway, she ruled.
Yeah, so the Targum says on here, just a point, that she replaced Vashti, that means because Vashti's image was all around the palace.
Maybe.
And he removed all of the portraits. Or statues, works of art of Vashti, and he replaced them with Esther's countenance.
What, trying to convince you you're making a mistake?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Vilna Gaon says again on this pasuk, Chen v'chesed.
Thank you.
Sorry. Chen v'chesed is that there's two components, there's two aspects of being beautiful. There's physical beauty, and then there's midos tavos. That's also something that enhances the attraction. And Chayin refers to her physical beauty, and Chesed to her, she was a Baal Chesed, to her Midas Tavis. And again, he points out that that's what we say in front of a Kala. We sing in front of a Kala, Kala Noa V'Chasuda. She's beautiful and she's a Baal Chesed. Chayin is beauty and Chesed is Midas Tavis. Positive character.
Doesn't Basula mean virgin?
Yes, and she wasn't, and she was taken anyway.
She wasn't a virgin.
But she wasn't, and she was taken anyway.
Because they called her Basula, didn't they?
No, because she had the advantages of both. When Achashverosh had relations with her, it was as if he was having relations with someone for the first time.
What do you mean? Like God made an ace that she became a virgin? That'd be,
or at least the experience was one of a virgin. The Vilna Gaon says he put the crown on her head. There were other ladies. What happened to the other ladies? We said this yesterday. Because even though he hadn't seen all the women, he made a blanket statement. She's more beautiful than all the ladies. He hadn't seen them all. But he knew. He knew that she was more beautiful. It's impossible to improve on perfection.
She was green at this point, right?
Yeah. She was green.
She
but the effects were that she was attractive. You see, she was attractive. Even though she was green, she was attractive. He saw that she is the most attractive woman that ever exists. There's no one that could compete with this attractiveness.
And everybody said agreed.
Whether he sees them or not. What?
You said that everybody agreed,
yes,
right?
That's because she was a shining beacon of chesed.
All these women, was it just physical beauty, or was it like one of those like beauty contests where they have to sing and they have to dance and they have to...
He said
like
there wasn't...
They had to have relations with him.
So it was just purely...
That's what it says in Chazal.
Maybe didn't you say previously that it wasn't only beauty, it was midos as well? That was like part of their criteria
for... That was part of Esther's attributes. It wasn't the midos was not... There was a concern that she shouldn't be a Baal Zgaiva. You're right, I'm sorry.
We said
you're
that
right.
Previously.
Yeah,
like
yeah but that she wasn't a Baal Zgaiva, but that's one slice of midos. Yerushalayim was not a part of it, you know.
Oh, of course. They didn't believe in God. They believed in idols.
They believed in idols. Righteousness wasn't a part of it. But there was a concern that you shouldn't be a Baal Zgaiva because that's a threat to the king's covenant. So there was a concern of midos, but it was in a very limited fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The Vilna Gaon says, Takas Vashti, we heard that there was a machlokes in the Mefarshim, whether Achashverosh was being advised to take someone without a noble lineage because that way he wouldn't have the same issues as with Vashti. Take someone, a common woman, make her important because she's your wife, or whether Dafke, you should marry someone that's even more chosen than Vashti. In any case, that's a machlokes we're sharing what the search was. In any case, once he found Esther, all the opinions converge that she was Takas Vashti, that he treated her like royalty. In his eyes, she was royalty. In his eyes, it was like she was descended from the kings. She was.
He just didn't understand.
He knew it, but he didn't know how. There was a certain majesty, right? There was a majesty about her. She schmecked. She schmecked like a bas malachim. That she's a descendant of the kings. And he treated her so. So whether he was originally looking for something else, in order that she shouldn't lord it over him, or whether he was looking for it, in any case, when he finally found her, she was royalty. And you see in the pasuk, the young lads, they didn't want her to put a crown on her head. Don't give her a crown. You need to put a crown on your wife. She'll be your wife without a crown. He put the crown on her head. I said Vayamlichel. Vayamlichel means he made her into a king. Make her into your wife. Say he married her. He took her.
Could you just be another like concubine?
No, Vayamlichel. She became the queen. I remember one of the first shiurim we had. We said that because Achashverosh stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it was nigzar on him, he should lose his whole kingdom. But because he married Esther, he was destined to marry Esther, he held on to 127 provinces. So he thought that she's a queen because of him, and really the opposite is true. He's only a king because of her. So she's the true Melech, Vayamlichel, Pashem Shat, she's the Melech. And we're going to see later that she commands people. We're gonna store this bit of information. We're gonna need it later. Okay, Rabbi Sir. Shukaya.